Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the draft edition of the Student of the Game. Probably a little bit of a difference you hear in my voice because, you know, we're trying to step it up a bit. So it's something else that'll change. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game. To my left, Weasel, Chris, here to bring you draft action here for the draft. So we figured we'd start at the top with the Colts, and then along with the Colts, we'll feature their division, the AFC South. Give you a little bit of a run through on the losses, additions, and the picks they made to try to address their team needs. So let's go ahead and move to the Colts, gentlemen. If I say to you team needs, the first question I ask is, where would we start? I'm sure you guys are on board with that.
Oh, quarterback, yeah. Yeah. They may need one.
Pick a position.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, where do we start? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you cite, of course, specifically the departure of Peyton Manning and also as well traumatizing experience of watching Curtis, I should have been a Pater, be the starter for 10 games. But some other players also departed the Colts as well. Pierre Garçon, Jeff Saturday, Anthony Gonzalez, Joseph Addai, and Dallas Clark both still remain untied, while Jacob Tammy will still be able to catch passes from Peyton Manning as he's parted to the Denver Broncos. The good news is a little bit of adjustment on defense for the Colts. Corey Redding, former Raven as well, defensive end. Tom Zbikowski at safety, so he's formerly Ed Reed's assistant deep in the backfield there. And then Samson Satelli to replace the departure of Jeff Saturday at center, as well as Donnie Avery at receiver, a spot that's also missing a lot. They did manage to retain Reggie Wayne. Weasel.
And word is the Indianapolis Colts will be switching to a 3-4.
So yeah.
It's gotta keep that in mind.
And it's good you cited there. We look at their draft picks. I see at least two D linemen included in there too. Of course, they didn't really address it until the fifth round. But Chris, you were the one who texted me about it. Two tight ends in their draft, second and third round. Is that as retarded as I think it is, or what?
It's pretty much retarded, but as their number two or second round draft pick, they did pick Stanford tight end Kobe Fleener to catch passes from Andrew Luck, as he did in college.
And yeah, I guess we should mention the part where the campaign to suck for Luck was complete. There was a lot of speculation for a while that it turned out that they would be whiffing for Griffin. Such was not the case. And we'll talk about Griffin when we get to the NFC East. Not there yet. So
and also another key loss is Jacob Lacey, who was a starting corner for them too, went over to the Lions.
Right.
And then also you said Curtis should have been a Painter. He's with the Ravens right now.
So he actually had a job, apparently. So here yeah. We go. We got Curtis, I should have been a Painter, who years back they had Kyle, I should have been a bowler. So there you go. I guess consistency? Yeah. Maybe they wanted a quarterback that was so bad in Baltimore as the backup. They wanted Joe Flacco to be like, look how good you are. You're so much better than that guy. And they just won't put the name on his jersey, right? Mm. Whatever. So with that, we go ahead and jump over to the Houston Texans. Now, a lot of losses here on defense for them. Kind of a big deal. They lost Jason Allen at corner. They lost Mario Williams at defensive end and D'Amico Ryans at the linebacker spot, inside linebacker, basically kind of the captain of the defense for all intents and purposes. A stout defense that got them through to the playoffs when, you know, before the quarterback went down, there was even outside talk that in the first year they made the playoffs, they'd make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I see that their first pick was a defensive end named Merciless. Can you beat that? Seriously. Your job is to punish quarterbacks. Your name is Merciless.
Yeah, but did you see his first name?
I did not.
Whitney.
See, that's because even after he's dead, he'll be merciless.
Whitney went to Houston.
Yeah. I see what he did there. Is too soon?
Too
anybody?
Small. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, right. So, you know, there were actually some analysts out there that were saying that they need to worry about offense. Can we talk about just a minute how retarded that is? Seriously? Andre Johnson, you know, the running back core, Ben Tate, the Aryan Nation, Arian Foster. Schaub's coming back. Actually, on my list of additions, I put Schaub, parentheses, coming back. They did lose Joel Dresden as a tight end. And Lawrence Vigors at fullback. Actually, Chris texted me that one a number of weeks back when that actually happened in free agency. And I began to think about it, and I'm like, you know, as much as they run the ball, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I said it with LT over in San Diego years ago when Lorenzo Neal retired.
Right.
I'm like, that's not going to be good.
Well, and that did fall apart. The difference is I think I like Matt Schaub better than Philip the Fraud Rivers. I don't know. That's a toss-up. Here's what I can say. the Houston Texans won a playoff game without their starting quarterback. The Chargers lately haven't even made the playoffs with their starting quarterback. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
F the Chargers. Pretty much the mission message in this particular portion of the podcast. So that kind of wraps us up for the Texans, I think, for the moment. We'll talk more about how we think they're going to each team's going to do in the division here later on.
Actually, their second-round draft pick, the wide receiver at Ohio State, will compliment Andre Johnson pretty well.
You got a name for me?
Devere Posey.
Okay.
Out of the Ohio State.
It's hard for me to respect any player out of Ohio State, but that's for personal reasons. Fake championships and whatnot back in whatever year that was. I try to block it from my mind. I'm not even a Hurricane fan. I just thought that was just ridiculous.
And they also did draft 3 offensive linemen.
Which, yeah, I mean, that's kind of been a big deal, a theme for them of late. I didn't think their O-line was particularly bad. It could use some improvement, sure. I mean, especially if you're a running offense that complements with Andre Johnson every now and again to fool people.
Yeah, but Schaub got hurt. Matt Leinart came in, got hurt right away, and another quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
Well, who was the other quarterback that got hurt? I thought Yates was the one who came in and
he is, but then they signed Orton. Didn't Orton get hurt too? Or no?
Well, oh, no, that's Orton. KC.
No, oh, it was KC, never mind. Yeah.
They did sign.
I thought they had another guy.
They did Matt sign Leinart. Jeff Garcia, but
Matt Leinart.
Leinart was the one that got hurt. Yeah. He was the first backup.
Yep.
Anyways, so they do still have T.J. Yates. Pop quiz: T.J. Yates, formerly third on the depth chart, having won a playoff game, will he be placed ahead of one Matt Leinart in the depth chart? Weasel.
Should be, yeah.
Chris.
Yes, because Matt Leinart's not on the team anymore.
Well, I was going to say, ooh. No, I was going to say, you're both wrong. He's not going to be on that depth chart. At any rate.
Well, points for me.
Points for Chris. That's right.
Ding.
Speaking of teams that have desperate problems at quarterback, we head over to Jacksonville, talking about the Jaguars just a little bit there. Shocking, groundbreaking losses. David Garrard, their former starting quarterback, and tight end Kyle Miller. Gut-wrenching losses. Not really. Although it's probably worth mentioning that Michael Sims-Walker still is not re-signed yet in free agency. They still, of course, have their mainstays. Beyond that, Mercedes Lewis, the tight end. Mojo, Maurice Jones-Drew, there to do some good things. And the defense is still pretty stout. And looking at their picks, they concentrated a lot on defense still. I think their one offensive pick was receiver Justin Blackmon. Everybody was raving about that. I like the pick. They also got Laurent Robinson from the Cowboys. And
big money for him.
Yeah. I don't know that he was worth a 32. What was it? 4 years, 32?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know how much it was guaranteed, but that is a big number. And, of course, Aaron Ross at corner. And then also another receiver. Almost forgot about him. Lee Evans in from the Ravens, former Buffalo Bill. So I like the Aaron Ross thing on their defense. It kind of makes their corners better. When you look at the rest of the division, if everybody plays the way they I mean, really, let's put it what it is. Blaine Gabbert needs to play. And if he doesn't, he really needs to be considered done.
Well, I think one thing with Gabbert, he had kind of an excuse last year because of his he didn't have much wide receiver help.
He didn't have wide receiver.
No,
help.
They're
was
pretty
new.
Good.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, no, that's a good call, Weasel. And I think with that, did they not get Chad Henne as well?
Yeah, they got Chad Henne as well.
So if Gabbert sucks, I think Henne could come and at least make them respectable. This division is still, in my view, kind of wide open if the Texans continue to suffer with injuries as they tend to do.
The only problem is they still have not got any offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Which was a question mark because Blaine Gabbert was under a lot of pressure last year. I know they spent a lot of draft picks the last few years to get one like Eugene Monroe. And,
right.
But that you don't even draft one, and in your third round pick, you pick a punter.
Yeah, well, I mean, his name was Anger.
But a punter in the third round?
His name was Anger. That means he's a weapon, not a punter.
They're dime a dozen on the free agent market.
Pretty much.
Well, if you're somebody who's run and defense first, as the Jags are right now, good field position through special teams might be a pretty helpful commodity. But for the third round pick, I could see why that would be beefed. I like that more than I like the two tight end picks for the Colts, personally. But that's just me. Yeah.
Well, they had to replace Dallas Clark and Jacob Tammy.
Yeah.
Well, Clark is still an agent. They could still sign him. Of course, someone else will snatch him up if they're not willing to pay, I guess, but that's a different topic. Or, you know, if they're worried about quarterback, they could always get free agent Mark Brunell for his 20th year as a homecoming. Just throwing that out there. I think the last time he was a Jaguar quarterback was, what, in the 90s? It's quite possible. Anyways, so with that, we'll wrap up the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans. Key departures include Donnie Avery and the biggest punk in the NFL, Cortland Finnegan. And defensive mainstay Chris Hope at safety, still not re-signed yet. Kind of a big deal on that. Of course, they attain, much to Weasel's dismay, star guard from the Vikings, Steve Hutchinson.
Help him out.
And Cameron Wimbley on the defensive line as well from the Raiders. Or, well, they list him as a linebacker, but let's call it what it is. You know, he was blitzing a lot from the linebacker spot as well, too. And their draft pick was Kendall Wright out of Baylor. I don't know how great he is. I'm sure he looked good, but when your quarterback was RG3 and you went to Baylor, you're not really playing against a whole lot of top flight talent. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been a first rounder, but I'm not saying the Titans should have gotten him necessarily either. They have a lot of needs. The good news is, as Matt Hasselbeck fades, they do have Jake Locker, and a little bit he came in last year during the Hasselbeck injury, I thought he looked good. I don't know. What do you guys think of Jake Locker?
Jake Locker, yeah, he looks much better than like Gabbard and and Ponder. So I think Locker could be good in the NFL.
All right, I'll pop quiz you then. Locker or the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton?
Well, Dalton's more. He's more proven. So I mean,
proven
I would say,
based
I would
on
say
what?
I would say the ginger.
He had Jerome Simpson more on that in future episodes, and
AJ Green,
you know. Kind of top flight stuff there.
Yeah, but...
Just throwing it out.
Yeah.
To go back to Kendall Wright, his senior year, he had 108 receptions for 1,663 yards with 14 touchdowns.
Okay, but who does Baylor play against? I mean...
Big 12. I know it's not as big
so
as it used to be,
right.
But...
I mean, that's OK State, which, I mean, they got a lot of draft picks in this draft here. Oh, I mean, that's OK State, that's... Yeah.
Oklahoma,
okay.
Texas.
Yeah, yeah. That's better than I thought. Maybe that's not so bad.
But, I mean, 1,600 yards?
No, that's a
huge lot of
deal.
Yards.
Yeah. Thank you, Weasel. Weasel back from being freshly married, still able to contribute with his on-point insight. Thank you, Weasel. So, let's go. So, go ahead and transition here, too. Gentlemen, we talk about Locker. We talk about this. The Titans' chances of actually winning the division. Weasel, what do you think?
They lost some. I mean, losing Cortland Finnegan, losing Jason Jones on defensive end. I mean, it's. They lost a couple, but they also got Cameron Wimbley. And adding Steve Hutchinson, I mean, their running game wasn't that good with Chris Johnson. I think he had a slow start to the season.
Well, and on top of that, I think he was recovering from an injury. And, I mean, that 2,000-yard season he had the year before, I guess two seasons ago now, would have really kind of slowed him up. I mean, we saw what happened to Larry Johnson, for example, when he had all those carries. It's the same kind of thing. So maybe that'll help take a little bit of pressure off him.
Well, pretty much with all that happened last season, they almost made the playoffs. And the Texans did have a lot of injuries, and they did win the division. But Titans could do it. Hutchinson should help out the running game, definitely. He did it for Peterson. He did it for Sean Alexander. So I think the Titans have a good chance.
Chris, Titans chances.
I still think Houston's the team to beat in this one. Indianapolis, if they can get their defense set. Even if they're switching to 3-4, I don't think they got the personnel for it.
Yeah, well, right. But they did get some D tackle in there in their draft picks.
I mean, they also need no line help there as well. But also that other draft pick we didn't mention, T.Y. Hilton at FIU, him as a slot receiver.
Yeah.
That boy's fast.
That boy good. Of course, you mentioned that boy fast. Who is it? Josh Robinson out of UCF that did have the top 40 time, but he's not a receiver, so whatever.
This guy, I mean, you can hit him on a slant, he's gone. I mean, he runs such a beautiful slant pattern. It's just with the other tight ends.
There's something to that. There's something to that. So we'll leave it this way then. I mean, the statement was the Texans are the team to beat. Yeah, I think that's a good statement. Weasel?
I think so.
Do they win it?
Well, we'll see what their
defense.
See
how silent it got?
It's kind of like Texans defense lost D'Amico Ryans and Mario Williams. I mean, we'll see how that defense is, but Texans are definitely the
still got J.J. Watt. Still got an improved secondary. I think I'm going to give it to the Texans on the strength of one thing alone. I don't really think the rest of the division can beat them. So, Chris.
I'm just thinking. I want to throw one out there. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I think they're repeating in.
Yeah, they want to find someone else.
I was like, you know what? Let me just roll the dice. Let's say Indianapolis. I just think their offense now too. I mean, even without Manning with luck there, but the offensive line is just gonna be hurting. But they're gonna improve drastically.
And that's the part I hated the most about their draft and acquisitions of late. Their interior line is probably the weakest part. Even without losing Jeff Saturday, and I like Sansom Satelli a lot. Great center. I think he was awesome in Miami. I thought Miami was stupid to get rid of him in the first place. Then he goes to Oakland, where Darren McFadden has an excellent running display. As does Michael Bush, and don't worry, we'll be talking about him plenty in the NFC North. But yeah, they don't have enough interior line yet. And what's their running presence? I mean, they haven't re-signed Joseph Addai yet. I don't know, but That would be compelling and interesting. They're motivated by the fact, yeah, F you, Peyton, you know. Well, unless you guys have anything else?
Nope.
All right, that'll wrap us up for the AFC South edition of our draft action here. If you want to go ahead and check us out on the website, www.thestudentofthegame.com. You can always subscribe to us, of course, on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at the SOTG. And if you want to email me and talk about how awesome it is that Weasel got married, go ahead at thesotg@gmail.com. And with nothing else left, class dismissed.